When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into The Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to The Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in The Daily Book Club.
You develop wealth like I developed wealth by focusing on three tenets: making as much money as you can, saving as much money as you can, investing the difference in the wisest places you can. And it simplifies everything if you just pursue excellence in those three categories.
Hey, my friend. Welcome back to Everyone's Talking Money. I am your host, Shauna, and it's so good to have you here. On this show, I like to talk about the other side of money. We're going to talk about all those sticky emotions that come up around money, and figure out how do we use our emotions to our advantage so that we can actually do and achieve the things in life we want to do. Sound good? All right. I get a question. How do you make, save, and invest your way to financial freedom? Well, I'm glad you ask, or rather I ask. I'm glad we all ask the question. Our guest, David Green, host of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, real estate investor and author of 5 books, including the bestseller titled Buy, Rehab, Rent, Refinance, and Repeat, says you need to focus on saving your money, making more money, and investing it in the best places you can. Sounds easy enough, right? So why is it so hard to reach financial freedom? Well, David cautions you to understand your money values and not just the ones you borrowed from your childhood, your true money values. David's advice will radically change how you spend money. He calls this process spending from gross. He says that your subconscious can trick you into thinking you are actually wealthier than you are. He's a big fan of making a spending plan and including on it how much you actually pay for taxes. This will blow your mind. I promise this tip will change how you look at spending money and your spending decisions forever. So in this episode, we talk about what do millionaires know about getting wealthy that we don't, how to use your paycheck to achieve financial freedom, and of course, we talk about real estate investing and how to use the current market to your advantage. If you love the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, you are going to love this conversation about reaching financial freedom. All right, let's start talking. Your new book is all about how to make, save, and invest your way to this a concept of financial freedom. And I think we all long for this thing, right? This idea of financial freedom, but many of us don't actually get there. We spend so many years working and saving money, but we're actually no closer to this elusive idea of being wealthy or being financially free. You know, why is this disconnect happening?
My 2 cents there, that's a great question, is that people have been sold an idea that it is possible to have this in a way that just isn't. So in this book, I use a lot of examples to the fitness world and the finance world. And the reason is there's basically no way to fake it when it comes to fitness. Like, your body is going to be a reflection of what you eat and how you move. And you can move in different ways and you can eat different types of food, but like, there's no way around it. It's, you can't hide. You can't fake and pretend like, well, I'm this way and it's not my fault. Finances are the same thing. How much value you bring to the marketplace will determine how much money that you make. And how much of that money that you keep will determine how much money you actually are worth. And then how well you invest that money is obviously a big piece. And I think there's a lot of people that want to get into real estate investing because they have been given a impression of it, often from social media or YouTube or people that are not doing this out of benevolence. They're doing this to make money, that portrays it very differently than what it actually is. And there's fitness influencers that do it too. The super ripped people, they're on steroids. They're the most like naturally gifted genetic freaks in the world that take their shirt off and they say, hey, if you sign up for my program, you can look like me. Well, you're never going to look like them. Okay. But you could look better than you look right now. You're just not going to look like them. In the real estate space, there's this idea that if you know the right strategy, the right system, something that will make it easy. And it's just not true. You develop wealth like I developed wealth by focusing on 3 tenets, making as much money as you can, saving as much money as you can, investing the difference in the wisest places you can. And it simplifies everything if you just pursue excellence in those 3 categories.
So are we just all as humans by nature lazy? Like, do we all just want the easy way out, the easy way to make money in whatever way it is, investing or real estate?
Yes. Yes, we are. That is the bad news. The good news is the sooner that we take ownership of that and we accept it, and I include myself in this, the sooner we can turn it around. Okay. If you ask most people, are you happy with the shape that you're in? They will say, no, I would like to look better. But the reality is I have the body that I chose. Okay. I chose what I ate and I chose how often I worked out. And if I'm just being very honest with myself, I got to own, I look exactly like how I want to look because this is what I do, right? In order to look different or better, I would have to give up some of the comforts that I have. I would have to deal with my stresses differently. I would have to prioritize things differently. And I've chosen not to do it. So this is where I belong. And if I actually was serious about wanting to be a super ripped influencer, I would have to make serious changes. And it comes the same way with everything in life. And because we live in this amazing country of America, and there is so much affluence, and there is so much wealth, and there is so much comfort, it is just easy to start to think that you shouldn't have to work hard. And when you're in an area where you don't have a lot of responsibility, so you work, let's say that you work at McDonald's and you're the person that stands at the cash register and takes the orders. That person tends to think in the W-2 position that they're the only one working. I'm the only one that has to do anything around here. It's very easy to think that, okay? But when you own the McDonald's and you're dealing with all the strains that come from that, like how are we going to market? How do we get people in? What's Jack in the Box doing and how do we compete with them? How do we get these goods purchased for lower prices and how do we transport them there? How do we hire people? How do we not get sued? Who's the next person that's going to put too hot a coffee that they give to someone that they get spilled on? Your mind's dealing with these really hard problems. You're looking at the person at the register like, we made this so easy that you literally just push a button on a screen with a finger. That doesn't even count for work. It's wildly different perspectives. And I noticed that when I became a business owner, I started to see how the things I thought when I was an employee were just very narrow. They were not the whole big picture. When I became wealthier and people came to me and said, David, how do I get wealth? And I told them what to do. They never did it. I got a new perspective. Oh, what stops most people from being wealthy is not that they don't know what to do, is that they just don't want to do it. So I wrote this book with partly an apologetic effort to try to explain to people, hey, this is the only way that anyone actually becomes wealthy in a reliable model. And then here's all the things that you got to fight against yourself if you want to get there. Because I think that's what love is. It's not just telling someone what to do. It's helping them with the reasons why they're not.
So then what's the secret sauce? Like, how do we get over this hurdle and actually become wealthy? Like, what do the millionaires and the wealthy people, like, what do they know that we don't know?
You know, I was just on a phone call with somebody in one of my teams that is working hard by their standard, but it's very different than what the company actually needs to succeed. Okay. So let's say that you were raised to believe that you should work 9 to 5 and you get weekends off and that's what work is. And anything more than that is your employer taking advantage of you. That's a nice privilege that we get to think that way in today's world, but go back 900 years. Okay. If you work from 9 to 5 and you don't find the deer and you don't shoot the deer, everyone starves. So do you get to be off at 5? No, you don't. You are going to be out there catching fish or hunting deer so that your babies don't die. Now, let's say that you're really good at hunting and you find the deer in the first 2 hours. Does that mean you have to stay in the woods till 5 for no reason? No. You go and you go be productive at something else. Like, really, life is about being productive and hopefully building skills so that you can do it in a way that you enjoy. And we get all these rules that get put in our head that come from the culture that we live in, which were established for a good reason. I definitely am not advocating for sweatshops or anything like that. But it's about building skills is what I'm getting at, not just being present and putting it on cruise control and going through life expecting other people to take responsibility for the result you want and the paycheck to just show up. And so in the book, Pillars of Wealth, I spend a big chunk of time talking about how you get better at making money, which is a purposeful, intentional effort to build skills and having a servant's mindset where you really want to be of service to the marketplace, whether that's your customer base, your client base, your employer. You are serving somebody and you should be doing it with enthusiasm and your best effort every day. The advice that I give is we should all show up to work every day, whether we're being interviewed on a podcast, we're hosting a podcast, or working in a warehouse with the attitude of it's the last day of tryouts and I don't want to get cut.
I like that. I like that analogy. I think that's something I'm a former athlete. I like that, right? You show up and you put your best effort forward. And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur just like yourself. And sometimes that's hard to do because you're also the boss of you. And so Yes. It's, you know, nobody's there, you know, making sure that you've done everything that you need to do. And so I think that's a real kind of mindset piece comes into play. But, you know, we talked about this idea of easy money and how sort of the proliferation of, you know, social media and YouTube and whatever it might be. What are some of the other kind of harmful myths you think around money that we need to shatter?
I think that a lot of us, and I'm included in this too, like it happens in your subconscious, we get this belief that somebody else is responsible for our success. Okay. I hear a lot of, there's no good jobs out there. Like, is there really no good jobs out there? Or do you think it's someone else's responsibility to find you, match you up with the perfect job, only give you the things that you like doing, give you benefits, and give you a whole bunch of money, and give you the security that comes with the job, right? Well, if you're subconsciously thinking that and it's never made it into your conscience, you're going to be disappointed with the experience that you get in life, okay? I hear the same thing in the dating world. There's no good men out there. There's no good women out there. right? Like what we're really saying is I should just bump into one that's everything that I would ever want without me having to become what they would want. And then they should just like me and it should be easy. And when that doesn't happen, then we get bitter. We get disappointed and it becomes an excuse to just say, well, there's nobody good out there. There's no good jobs.
Hey, Hallmark has shown us, you know, yes. Right? It should be so
great
easy.
Example,
come on.
Great example. Hallmark, right? The romantic comedies, they're all kind of a form of porn. I'm sorry to portray it that way.
No, yes, it is.
It's not realistic, but it's nice to think that that's how it could work. And when it gets into your subconscious and you adopt it without realizing that you did, it becomes bitter when some guy that's been watching porn his whole life dates a real girl and she doesn't respond the way that happened in the videos. And he's like, well, then what's wrong with her? Right? The better way to look at it, like what I tell the men that I'm sort of leading, is you need to learn how nature works. Nature doesn't care what your expectations are. Nature doesn't care what you think. It doesn't care what your version of fair is. It is what it is. And when you adopt that mindset, you're almost like Neo in the Matrix. You see the computer code. And you know how to work around it. You recognize what your employer or your manager or your boss is thinking, how you can help them and how that makes them love you. Then your name comes up when they're talking about the people they really like. And they're like, really? That person does that? That's incredible. And now you're being compared to all the other people that don't do anything. And now you get the shoulder tap when there's going to be a promotion. Or even better, you go to your boss and say, I want that promotion. What do I have to do to get there? If you said you were an athlete, you know this works in sports. I don't get to pout and complain to my coach that I'm not playing enough. And I don't get to say, well, I'll try harder in practice when you give me more playing time. Okay. That's a power struggle and I'm going to lose it because the coach is in the alpha position and I'm in the beta position. I'm dependent on them. What I have to do in the beta position is say, I'm going to outwork everybody on this team and make myself the best option you have to win because the coach is going to lose their job if they don't win. They're not sitting you on the bench because they don't like you and it's personal. They're thinking about them. If I don't win, then I don't have a job and my family doesn't eat. So make yourself the best option. They're going to want to play you. Now you brought some value to the marketplace. Now you get what you want. Now the additional playing time makes you even better. You get more experience. Experience makes us all better. You go into the next phase of your life with a much healthier understanding of how things actually work versus how you want them.
You talked about this word just a few minutes ago, this idea of purpose. And I love thinking about it in terms of money. And something that I've done a lot of work with myself is kind of shattering the belief that your self-worth is more important than your net worth. And, you know, I grew up in a family where I kind of got the message that status was important and you used money to buy things to get status. Mm-hmm. And then as an adult, of course, I realized like, this actually is very harmful for me because it's getting me in a lot of debt and it's not actually helping my situation. And so, you know, I think that there's, I don't know, it's this struggle to figure out how to use our money to bring purpose in our lives and to use money towards the vision of life that we really want. But we get so stuck in maybe living out other people's vision of life that we kind of lose our authentic selves in the middle of that. And we don't even know, like, who am I and what do I really want? So money just kind of, you know, it seeps through like the crevices. And then, you know, we're not moving closer to our goals. What do you think about this idea? Like this idea of bringing purpose to our money and bringing sort of an authenticity to it?
Well, the first thing is what you just said was very profound and insightful. We got our values from someone else. That speaks to what I was calling the subconscious. We did not consciously choose, this is the body that I want to have. We just adopted the eating habits of whatever we got growing up or whatever we got exposed to, what we see other people doing, and made them our own. But if we consciously sat down and said, well, what would be my choice? We probably wouldn't pick some of the things that we surround ourselves with to eat. The same goes with how we spend money. There's a concept I talk about in the book called spending from gross. And it's one of the ways that your subconscious tricks you into thinking that you're wealthier than you are. So when you actually make a budget, which very few people want to do, just like, I don't want to have to budget my calories for the day. I don't like to have to think about, I just want to spend money on what I want to spend it on, what's comfortable. But when you make a budget and you include how much you're paying in taxes, you realize you don't have nearly as much money as you think. Okay. If you make $150,000 a year and you really want to buy that Mercedes, and out of that 100, let's make it 120,000 a year. that's 10 grand a month. Well, if the Mercedes costs $1,000 a month, what you're thinking is that's 10% of what I make. Big deal. That's nothing, right? What's $1,000 a month when I make $120,000 a year? But if you look at how much of that 120 you're keeping after all of your bills and all of your taxes, out of that 10 grand a month, you probably spend money on things you don't need. Maybe you're only keeping 2,000 a month, and that's the money you could be investing. Well, that Mercedes is 50% of the money that you actually have left over to achieve the goals that you keep telling everybody that you want to achieve. When you look at the net, that thing's insanely expensive. It's costing you your future to have that Mercedes. When you look at the gross, you're like, big deal, right? And you just keep making decisions like this when it comes to money all the time, not understanding that you're sabotaging yourself because you're not owed the Mercedes. You don't need, like you just said, it's the status. I need other people to think that I've made it. Do we realize that the trying to impress the other people that we probably don't know is what keeps us in that job that we're not happy, fighting that traffic that we can't stand, afraid to go become an entrepreneur? Because if you don't have your budget under wraps and you want to go start your own business, how can you? You got that car note and that rent that you signed up for, and you don't have any savings, you're never going to leave that job. The entrepreneur journey is way better, and it leads to way better growth and way better results. But you got to have a cushion to get there. And that starts with your budget.
What you're talking about here, this idea of, you know, status, and that other people, I mean, other people don't ultimately care how you're spending your money, right? They ultimately, they're probably going to make a judgment, but they ultimately don't care. It makes me think of this quote. I forget who said it, but they said, you know, if you have an opinion about me, go ahead and text me. And if you don't have my cell phone number, that means you shouldn't have an opinion about me. And I think the same thing when we're talking about money is we're sometimes trying to, appeal to other people through how we spend our money. But ultimately, they don't care. They don't care how we spend our money, and we shouldn't care about how they spend their money.
Yeah. I mean, that's a weird thing that we're worrying about what other people are spending, but I don't think we would be if we understood how expensive that habit actually was. If we realize how much it's costing us, how much freedom that we are sacrificing because of these things that you're talking about, we would never make that decision. And that's what I'm hoping comes out of this interview, out of the book, out of pretty much everybody that I talk to, is what can I pull from your subconscious into your conscious? So you are looking at it and you are aware it is there, and you make the decision, do I want to keep this in my life or do I want to let it go? And we have to understand that when you do that, that often is accompanied by uncomfortable feelings. In psychology, we call that cognitive dissonance. It does not feel good when you realize that the body you have that you say you don't like is the thing you actually are choosing every single day. It does not feel good when you realize that that job that you want or the life that you want that you're bitter about the world didn't give you is actually what you chose. It's nobody else's fault. It was us that chose it. And I'll also say, the world is full of people that are going to tell you it's not your fault, because that's how they get you to buy something from them. It is so easy in my space of real estate to say, are you tired of that boss that won't get off your back? Well, take my course and pay 20 grand and I'll teach you how to flip houses, and you'll make 100 grand a house and never deal with that boss again.
Life does not happen bi-weekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie. Or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin, money, under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. Want to know the number one money question I'm asked? It's how to get started investing without being overwhelmed. So if you're asking yourself the same question, then you have to check out the Investing for Beginners podcast. The hosts, Dave and Andrew, they break down investment terms and strategies in a way you can finally understand. I love that they're making investing accessible, and they have an entire podcast dedicated to helping you invest better. Even if you're not ready to start investing, they explain the stock market and financial updates so you can really understand what is being said on the news. If you're ready to learn more about investing, I'd recommend you start with two of my favorite episodes. Listener Q&A, how do you start investing with $1,000, where they explain how you get started right away. And Back to Basics of Building Your Portfolio, where they explain how to build a portfolio from scratch. The Investing for Beginners podcast is a great way to start expanding your relationship with money. Find Investing for Beginners podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, David, it's time to play your relationship with money is game. So first question, if you were to describe your relationship to money as a cartoon character, who would it be?
It used to be Scrooge McDuck, which I will admit, and it is now Captain Planet. So Captain Planet only succeeds when they all put their little rings in there together and they work as a team to accomplish something. So I've learned now that I can only get as high as the people that I bring along with me, and we have to develop on this plan together. That when you try and isolate yourself from everybody else and you become a Scrooge, you're limited with how far you can go.
Question number two, what is one money mistake you wish we could add a do-over for?
You know, usually we tend to think about things like where I spent money and I shouldn't have. I, looking back, realized that I was too conservative when it came to investing in real estate. So in 2009, 2010 was probably the best time ever to buy real estate. And I was buying real estate, but I was only buying one house a year when I could have bought four. And my thought process was, well, what if? And my mind just came up with all these things that could go wrong, right? Now, the reality was I had no family, no kids, no dependents, no limits on how much I could work, a great job, unlimited overtime. I live with my mom and my dad still, so I had no bills. Like, if any time there was to go hard at doing something and be aggressive, it was that point in my life. But that fear was just so powerful that it held me back. So I wish I could go back in time and say, you know, I'm not going to waste money on something stupid, but I am willing to risk it on a good investment.
All right. Tell me one guilty money splurge that you're never given up.
You know, this is embarrassing to admit on a big podcast, but I'm still somewhat of a grown man that has a little kid running the show behind the scenes. And I still buy video games. I'll buy a video game and then not have time to play it. And it will just sit there in packaging. And it, like, my 9-year-old self loves it because you always wanted more video games when you're a kid, but we didn't have any money, so you never really got them. That would be a hard one, I think, to let go of.
All right, last question. If you woke up tomorrow and had unlimited source of money, what is the first thing you would spend it on?
I like houses. I just like big, nice properties that have rare things other people don't have. It'd be wonderful to have a house that had its own gym and a really nice swimming pool and like a tennis court or a basketball court or a gun range or something like that. I've always seen those big spreads in magazines of like an estate that has all these cool things and a cool view. If money just wasn't an object, I didn't have to be responsible with it and invested in things that are going to get a return, I'd probably just buy a really big, nice house.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisterfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right, daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts. And remember, stay safe.
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rena Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about money is hard. You know this already. All over the world, people are taught to never talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. On 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meeting from executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines, host and financial conversationalist Carl Richards, we'll remove money from that list by having frank, funny, and often difficult conversations about money, the kind we're all told not to have, with guests from all walks of life. In each episode, Carl will invite a new guest to answer the question, "What does money mean to you?" Their answers will reveal much more than their attitudes about money, spanning revelations about identity, community, faith, family, and the true meaning of wealth. Tune in to hear deep conversations about money and the meaning it holds in our lives. You can find 50 Fires on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So how do we then, David, take stuff from our subconscious, our unconscious, and bring it into the conscious? Like, particularly if we feel money is this subject that is scary, brings up all this fear, how do we do that work?
You know, there's a book that a man named Jocko Willink called. He's sort of like the mentor that I look up to more than anybody in this space. Have you heard of Extreme Ownership? Incredible book, right? Basically, it's this idea that everything that happens in the world is your fault, that happens in your world, right? So he gives these examples of things that went wrong when he was a commander of Navy SEALs. And it would be very easy to say, that guy screwed up, that guy screwed up. I'm glad it's not on me, which is what we think this thought so many times a day, right? All I know is it wasn't me that was there. And it's like, okay, cool. I'm not the one in trouble. Well, if your goal is to protect your ego, you can always blame someone else. But if your goal is that the team wins, now if my teammate makes a turnover, that hurts me. I don't get to say, well, I didn't make the turnover. On my stat sheet, I look good. The teammate making the turnover hurts my goals, which means I will now want to take ownership over that person. How do I help them take care of the ball better, make better decisions, improve their ball handling so that doesn't happen? Because if they continue to turn it over, it hurts my chances to win. And when the team wins, everybody wins, right? So I adopted this idea of extreme ownership where anytime someone in one of my companies messed up, it's on me. When my boss messes up, it's on me because I could have warned them or prepared them or done something to take the pressure off of them and put it on me that would have helped them to succeed. And when you start looking at life that way, when you recognize how many times your own subconscious is letting you off the hook, you don't have to pull it out of your subconscious. It's wanting to come out all the time and you make the gateway for it to be allowed to.
Well, you host a Bigger Pockets podcast. You are also a real estate investor and you've written 5 books, which is quite incredible.
You must really love what you do. How'd you get started in real estate investing?
I completely bash backwards, if I'm being honest with you. I had no intentions of being an investor.
That sounds about right.
In the Pillars of Wealth, I talk about it. I was good at making money and I was good at saving money for a kid my age, but I didn't have a leg up. I didn't really have an advantage. I wasn't sent to an Ivy League school. I waited tables in restaurants, but I just outworked everybody. And I was always asking my boss, what more can I do? What more can I do? Hey, that party of 20 that's coming in, I want that table. What do I have to do? Well, David, Kelly's better than you. She's worked here longer. She's more experienced. She sells appetizers. She sells bottles of wine. You don't know anything about wine. I heard you at the table the other day and your answer was, I don't know. Let me ask. That makes us look terrible. Learn about wine. And instead of complaining and saying, oh, my boss is, she likes Kelly more than me just because she's a woman and she doesn't like me because I'm a man. It was, okay, she's right. And so I would just ask the bartender, tell me about wine. Why do we call it Cabernet? What's the difference between a Pinot Noir and a Sauvignon Blanc? And then when they didn't know, I would go Google it. And what happened is the boss started to hear me talking to the tables and selling more wine. And that gave her the message, David wants it, which gives her the feeling she can trust me, just like a coach who tells a player, if you can't make left-handed layups, then I can't put you in the game, and watches that person working on their left-handed layups every day and sees that they're improving. It gives them the feeling of confidence. I didn't wait for her to make it worth my while. I took the initiative on myself to make it worth her while. Now I'm getting those 20-person tables. And eventually I got to where I was making better money than everyone my age. I was the equivalent of what like 30-year-olds were making. And I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And then I just kept saving it all. I fought to not let lifestyle creep kick in. I didn't care about what other people thought. They would tease me when my friends would ask me to go to a restaurant and I'd go hang out with everyone, but I wouldn't order the food. And say, no, I'm going to eat when I go home. My mom has leftovers.
I'm not paying for this food.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. And they were like, what's the big deal? Live a little. That's always the excuse is, well, live a little, right? Well, I wasn't there to live by eating the food. I was there to enjoy the relationships of the people that were there, right? I was living just fine. So I ended up graduating college with my school paid for, my car paid off in cash. And there was another thing. I didn't have any debt on anything, with $100,000 left over in the bank. And so when the real estate market tanked, I was sat with six figures of money that I could go start buying houses with. And then I got a job in law enforcement. I became a deputy sheriff. And instead of saying, well, I've already got $100,000 in the bank, I could take it easy, I was like, no, I'm going to work overtime. I don't have a family. I don't have any kids. Like someday I'm not going to be able to do this, but right now I can. So I would sign up for all the overtime. And I sort of talked about in the book how that taught the sergeants in charge of the overtime to come to me first. And they would always give it to me unless I said no. If you say no, then they're going to go to somebody else next time. So I would set my schedule up so I was never saying no if somebody was going to call in sick. And when I saw how powerful real estate investing was once I bought a couple houses and I learned how cash flow worked, I sort of figured out the fundamentals of real estate investing. I was like, okay, as hard as I work to get ahead, I don't want to waste my money when I work really hard to make it. And I don't want to go to work and not work hard because I just wasted the 8 hours I was there. I could have worked harder. Well, now once I have it, I don't want to waste it and let it sit in the bank. I want to put it somewhere that it's going to grow. And this thing clicked. These three things all work together. Focus on saving my money, focus on making more money, and focus on investing in the best place I can. And then it was maybe 4 or 5 years after I made it a purposeful effort to do this that I became a millionaire through real estate investing.
So do you think it's still reasonable that we could invest in real estate in, you know, 2024 with kind of the crazy market and have it be profitable?
It is, but it's a lot more work than when I was doing it. And at the other end of it, you may have to delay gratification longer. Real estate is still appreciating and rents are going up. They're not appreciating as fast as it did, and rents are not going up as often as they were when I started investing. But that's just because I got lucky without knowing it at the time, and the government printed insane amounts of money through quantitative easing that made all of these hard assets appreciate faster than natural. I think we're sort of in an environment now that is much more normal. It shouldn't be exploding in value like what it did. But Shauna, on the other end, it is easier than ever to make money. While it's harder to invest it, the pillar of offense is easier than ever because we've got all these jobs that nobody wants to work, and the overall work ethic in our country is worse than it ever was. 50 years ago, you had to work really hard to get a job, okay? Today, my DMs are blown up by 19-year-olds that are trying to sell me on their AI, chop up my videos and repost them for me, and they consider that work, sitting at their room texting random people on Instagram, asking if they can get paid, right? Like, If you're willing to work hard and you want to get after it, you want to grow your skills, there are more opportunities than ever, like when I was younger, for the people that want to go take them.
So I want to talk a little bit about investing. Something you teach is how to replace your job with investment income and reach that financial freedom level. Is this something that is accessible to anyone, like regardless how much money they have in their checking or savings account?
No, it's not. And that's one of the things I think that it misleads people. When you earn your income through something like real estate investing or stock dividends or most things that are some kind of passive income, the benefit is that you're not working. The money's just coming in. The downside is it's not nearly as secure as when you have a job. Things go wrong with your real estate. It often costs money. You have to put money back into the deal. The roofs are going down. The air conditioners are going to break. You're going to get a tenant that trashes the place and doesn't pay the rent. You have to pay to evict them. So when you live off the expenses that come from the real estate, when you live off the income that comes from the real estate, you're usually not thinking about the expenses that are associated with it. And then you get in a bad financial position because you got no money when the things break. So while real estate investing is something that people can exchange their W-2 for, I think it's much wiser to build up passive income through real estate investments and leave your W-2 job that you don't like to take something in the middle that you do. That's what I did. I left being a police officer because it was very hard getting off at 2 o'clock in the morning and working 80 hours a week or more a lot of the time. And it's not a job that I wanted to start a family or have kids with when I had that job. But I didn't stop working because I was making $5,000 a month from rent. I went and became a real estate agent. And then I built a team. And then I became a business owner. And then I learned about business. And I said, you know what? I could have a mortgage company because I already know how business works. And I started a mortgage company. And then I started a mastermind. And then I started writing books. And then I became the host of this podcast. And now I'm starting a property management company. I didn't quit working, but I stopped working at a job I hated. And that's what I tell a lot of people. You're probably never going to not work. Even if you get a huge portfolio somehow, you have to pay attention to what's happening in it or you'll lose energy out of that thing. But you can definitely get a job you like. I mean, I'm sure you could admit, Shauna, us sitting here having intellectually stimulating conversation on a podcast is a whole lot better than sweeping floors at a warehouse.
Definitely sign up for that all day long. It makes me think about the FIRE movement that's really popular when we talk about money. And, you know, it's interesting, like a lot of people who were so gung-ho about the FIRE movement and, you know, ended up quote unquote retiring, stopping working. And then a few years later, like, well, okay, actually maybe I do like working. Like maybe I do want to do something. And, so I like this idea of kind of finding this middle spot with, using investment income to kind of help, I don't know, soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And if you somehow did become so independently wealthy that you don't have to do any work at all, I would still advise people to find something they're passionate about, helping other human beings with something, and putting your energy into that. It's never a wise idea to say, I don't have to work and I'm just going to live a life of luxury and excess at this point.
What are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned over the years investing in real estate?
Oh boy, specific to real estate. I got myself in some big hot water recently buying too many houses at one time. So I made really good decisions as far as what I paid for the houses. I bought in really good areas. All the things that I knew to do, I did a very good job on it. What I didn't know is what hurt me. I bought grade A real estate in great locations, and then I didn't realize the neighbors in those neighborhoods would band against me because they didn't want investment property in their neighborhoods. I didn't realize how powerful a group of people, and this happened in several different cities across the country. One of them in South Florida, the mayor has literally been involved because the neighbors were so mad that I bought a property to make a short-term rental in their neighborhood. And what happens when you get into those situations is you can't sell the property to somebody else because the city has red tagged it. You can't fix it because the permitting department won't approve what you're looking to do. And you can't foresee it coming because they're making me change things on properties that I didn't do anything to, right? This one of them has a duplex that was built in 1943. And they found this loophole where the permit process wasn't completed in 1943. So we're going to make you tear the whole thing down. I was like, well, what about all the other duplexes that are on the street? And they said, well, they didn't apply for a short-term rental permit, so we don't care about them, right? So you can't tell people don't do it because something could go wrong, but I definitely, in hindsight, should not have bought 18 houses at one time and had all of this stuff happen at the same time. Another thing about real estate that I, mistakes I made that I didn't realize was that you see a lot of real estate investors take credit for what they did, like we're smarter than everybody else is. It's not true. It's really just inflation that makes me look really smart buying real estate. The government is reckless with the money supply. They print a whole bunch of money. It makes everything more expensive. So food becomes more expensive, energy becomes more expensive. And then that also makes these assets like real estate more expensive because they're hard to inflate. It's very easy to inflate dollars. It's very easy to inflate certain cryptocurrencies. They could just make more. It's hard to just make a whole bunch more houses. There's a lot of labor that goes into that, right? So if you're going to try to figure out like what to own, it's wise to think about things that are hard to duplicate. Gold. Very hard to get more gold out of the ground. You got to spend a lot of money and energy to do that. Diamonds, if they're real diamonds, right? Very hard to replicate those. That's why you don't see that the value of those things plummets like other things can. And real estate is one of those things, the best area, the best ground, and then an asset that's hard to build or expensive to build is going to hold its value much more than other things.
Well, my mission behind this show is obviously to get everyone talking about money. And I'm, you know, wondering what's something that you want everyone listening to be talking about and sharing with their friends in this pursuit of financial freedom. If they heard nothing else from our conversation, what do you want them to remember?
Fall in love with the process of becoming great. Chase excellence. Don't chase easiness. Okay. I wish I could scream this from the rooftops. I see it in my employees. I see it in the past David versus present David. There's a virus that we all get in our minds that says, I want to find the easiest distance from where I am to where I want to go. How do I work the least and make the most money possible? And what happens is you're never happy with what you have. There's always like, well, what if I could get that girl to like me more and I didn't have to work as hard to make her like me, like my girlfriend that wants me to make all this effort, right? It's a terrible way to look at life because there will always be a temptation that something else could be easier or better than what you have. Instead, push that out of your mind and just say, how do I become excellent at this? How do I become so good at making my partner feel loved that like they're exploding with admiration for me? How am I so good at my job that my employer loves me so much that they have no choice but to give me a raise? And if for some reason they don't or they can't, you now have a ton of value to bring to another employer. You're going to be their best person. You know, when I played sports, I was very frustrated that I always wanted to be the best player in the league. And I was better than everyone else, but I wasn't as good as the people that had athletic skills that I didn't have. There was a limit on how good that I could do. Well, in the world of entrepreneurialism, in the world of personal finance, the only limit is your mindset. Your mindset is your athleticism. And nobody stops us from improving that. So when you just adopt the things I talked about, like extreme ownership and falling in love with the process of being great and chasing excellence, it's like creating a mindset that lets you jump through the roof or run way faster than everybody else can. And what I've found is life just becomes easy. You go to work every day excited to go and wanting to outwork everyone there, just like when you're playing your sport and you're burning a lot of calories, but it's fun. You know, it's different than when you make yourself exercise and you don't want to be doing it. When it's something you're passionate about, you love it and you can't wait to go do it. And of course you get tired. You can't do it forever, but you get done. And on the drive home, you're like, oh, I had so much fun. Next time I'm going to go do this part. I loved it. Like, what if we approached our jobs with that same level of enthusiasm and just kept working through the career that we're at until we found the sport that was the best fit for us?
Do all things with excellence. That's the message I'm taking away from this conversation with David. I have to admit that sometimes I get lazy and I'm not working from excellence specifically around my money. I don't know, maybe that happens to all of us. What do you think? Well, it seems the secrets to financial freedom really aren't so secret after all. It comes back to being intentional with your money, managing your mindset, and making the best decisions you can with your money that align with your values for life. If you want to connect with David, you can listen to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on any podcast player, and you can head to Bigger Pockets' website to grab a copy of his books. I will link that right in the show notes, as well as links to all of our amazing episode sponsors who make this show possible. You know what to do. Go out there, share this episode, share it with 5 friends, get everyone you know into the Everyone's Talking Money community so we can all learn and grow and start thriving financially. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.